Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois Radio, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
That's precisely what we do. Each episode, we also invite a third party to join us here in the sack. We'll be chatting about sex, relationships, and every goddamn thing in between.
Yeah.
Yay.
Hey, lover.
Hello, lover. How are
you? It's crisp and autumn out. I'm enjoying myself.
So we slept with that window open last night. Got a little nippy, but I liked it.
You know who else is a little nippy?
Ooh.
You know this hunk of man meat.
That's right. He's a New York City-based comedy writer and director.
Shaking his thing all over TV and the internet.
He's a creator of the Untitled web series that Morgan Evans is doing for MTV.
Creator and star of music television on MTV Other.
Host of the vlog, Like the Show. It's on MTV's YouTube page.
His work has been nominated for a WGA Award for Original New Media.
Welcome, Mr. Morgan Evans.
Woo woo.
So nippy.
So nippy.
Yeah, you guys can't see it, but he's nipping out.
I'm very nippy. Tiny nipples.
That's a very impressive resume for a young buck.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks. It feels like a trick. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. It's a hustle is what it is.
No, you're on the hustle.
It's a
That's
sweet
great.
Hustle.
We
with
respect
the, pin, with
the
pinhead
hustle.
Nips, the tiny little
it's
nips.
It's the tiny nips that do it, you know? Yeah.
Nips out. Hustle on.
Ooh.
You know how Coolio wears that hat where his hair pops out of him?
Yep.
I have that for all my shirts.
Oh, man. Just nips coming out.
Just two little nips.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come along and ride on that niptastic voyage.
Niptastic.
That was a sample of a sample.
No, I would listen to Niptastic.
Well, what are we sipping on? Speaking of nips and sips.
Well, we like to wine and dine all of our guests. We're a classy podcast.
Yeah, you guys are nice.
If you want to dine, you can eat the lime in your cocktail.
Yeah,
that's
the first time we've ever done.
That's the extent of the dining.
You guys can't see it at home or your car or your phone or wherever you are, but Murph brought so many limes.
Yeah.
Well, because
see if you can hear the cellophane baggie of limes.
Mr. Morgan Evans, we always ask what our guest wants to drink, and he said gin and tonic, which is great.
Yeah, and I found out that's what Griffin asked for as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Griffin Newman was a...
And I think maybe Opus.
Yes,
Am
Opus,
right
Opus Moreschi. Colbert Report's Opus Moreschi loved the G&T. So we've had a few G&Ts on the show.
Classy gentleman.
It's a very classy drink.
Yeah, it took me a while to find my drink.
Yeah.
It does.
Because for a while it was like whiskey ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of liking those, but then it made me sick.
Yep.
And then so I feel like gin and tonic is something I know I can drink nine of.
Yes.
Be okay.
Just
well,
anything. That's how you find your drink. Can I consume nine of these and be okay?
Yeah,
that is the test.
Because you're also hydrating while you drink it.
Yes.
Or can I consume one and feel like a classy, cool guy? You want to run the gamut with your cocktail.
Yeah, you want to be able to be versatile. I straight whiskey is I've settled into to drink that because the sweet, too many sweet, the ginger ale is the problem.
Tonic has a lot of sugar.
Tonic has sugar, but does it?
Yeah.
I never knew what the hell the deal was with tonic.
There's something
over
weird.
Over seltzer or...
What is it? Sodium bicarbonate or something?
Yes, quinine.
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 Oh, is sodium bicarbonate what you need to make bacon?
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
No, that's quinine nitrates?
That's nitrates, yeah.
I always mix up quinine and nitrates.
Well, just eat bacon and drink tonic.
I have a thing to say about G&Ts, which I think I've said every time we've given them to our guest, but that was my drink for a long time, and I felt like a very classy lady. Mm-hmm. I was in my early 20s living in Seattle, and then I started working at this Japanese restaurant, and they said, "What's your drink?" And I said, G&T, and my friend Andy was like, "Oh, the panty dropper."
What?
Mm.
And he's like, "Everyone knows gin tonics are the panty droppers." And then they all laughed. And I don't know if it was like a Japanese American thing, but I was like, I don't want to be the person who has the drink that means I want to rip my panties
off. Rip your panties. Well, isn't that just alcohol in general?
That's what I was going to say. Does that mean that if you're the one drinking them, that you're the one dropping the panties? Or if you drink them and then drop somebody else's panties drop for you?
I think
they see you drinking and they go, ooh, yeah, he's got a G&T. I'm stone sober, but I'm going to take my panties off.
Yeah, I think if you're just drinking a G&T, anyone around you rips their underwear off.
There you go. Yeah.
And I had to stop.
It falls off. Just like you lose
just
weight and your panties don't fit anymore and they fall off.
Just it takes a while. You got to stick around for a little bit and then the weight's lost, the panties drop. Everybody's excited. Now, so G&T is your drink of pleasure. You're in a relationship.
I am.
Do you both get into the G&Ts or?
Yeah, I drink a lot more than she does.
Yeah, yeah. No. Well, you're nine. You're nine.
I'm 9 years old. Yeah.
Nine. Why nine?
Yeah. No. Yeah. She likes that. She likes G&Ts. That's what we'll get at a bar.
Yeah.
I'll just have a few more.
Do you guys ever sip in bed?
No. But I like spinach. I come home and sip immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, like yeah. pretty much every day, I'll have a drink.
I'm with you.
Or two.
What's that smell, dear? Oh, it's gum.
It's my gum.
It's my quinine gum.
Quinine.
Yeah, her nose doesn't work. She thinks like, booze that, smells like gum.
Is that bubblicious or yeah. booze?
Well, the nips coming out of the shirt distract from the,
thank you,
the liquor smell.
My nips are down here is what I
think. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's sip these G&Ts as we slide on over to sexy science.
So what we do here is we take... Did you like that?
I loved that. That was great.
Little ditty.
We take current events, rip them from the headlines, and discuss them here on Ménage à Trois as only we can, discussing your hearts and parts. This comes to us from Reuters. Ebola might be sexually transmitted.
Hmm. The media has been pretty hysterical about the outbreak, naturally. And one of their talking points is how Ebola can be sexually transmitted. People get infected from direct contact with an infected person through broken skin or through bodily fluids, including saliva, urine, fecal matter, and yeah, semen.
And yeah,
yeah.
Semen.
And yeah, you know what we're talking about. Semen.
Semen.
Ever heard of it?
She's like, and yeah, female ejaculate.
Yes. What is funny about this to me is it seems very obvious. Like, we all know
yeah.
it's communicable by fluids. So fluids. Why would sex be like, there? Is it or isn't it? You're like, dude.
It's fucking clickbait.
Yeah.
It's just like, also, we can force boobs into the conversation somehow now.
Somehow. Let's,
yeah.
let's make Ebola about
anything
sex.
Else. Yeah.
About, yeah, semen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Semen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, I mean, even... Yeah, I don't know. I guess ranking these two as an STD, though, it is probably up there, I would guess, in terms of
well,
one you don't
want to get. Well,
because
it just kills a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's deadly.
There's a
yeah.
couple.
Pretty deadly.
Just wear a condom anyway, though, because you don't want it. Worst case, you get pregnant and don't want to. Best
right.
case, you yeah. get Ebola. I meant to switch those.
It's way more likely you're going to get HIV or AIDS than Ebola anyway.
Yes.
So it's insane to me that they're like, that we need to... force sex into it in order to be concerned about Ebola.
Yeah.
Hey,
I have sex.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the thing I do.
I bet you I could get that thing through this other thing I do.
Well, it's a lot cooler than saying, like, I drank someone's bloody vomit on the subway.
Right.
Yeah.
People are just lying about
people
it.
People do
yeah.
that all the time.
It's like, I just...
It's coming.
I saw poop. I picked it up. I ate it. I mean, that's not quite the headline.
I thought it was a burger.
How'd the doctor get it? Did he touch blood and then... touch his mouth?
I think he, yeah, I guess if he was working.
He was fucking.
Without, he was,
he, fucked,
yeah, he fucked. He fucked his way through Africa and then came back.
He's
with,
like, yeah, there was, someone was quarantined and she needed some
love
tender
yeah.
love and care and I took care of her. Yeah, so no duh, it's sexually transmitted.
Yeah.
And
I think it's,
what news station is this, by the way? Because it looks fake. It looks
oh, yeah.
like a fake news station. It looks like one of the backgrounds that come with...
It was filmed in a closet.
Oh, yeah. Where do we find that clip?
It's a Russian TV
oh, RT.
News channel.
RT.
Ooh.
RT.
Anything can be a news channel if you try.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
If you post something to the internet, you are a news
You're
channel.
A news channel.
Well, with Sexy Science, I think Ménage à Trois Radio is a news channel.
I'll argue
yeah.
that. I'll definitely argue that. Ebola in terms of sexually transmitted diseases, I would say is still number two because AIDS you can get more is more common.
Yeah, pretty much every sexually
every
transmitted
other one
disease
is more common,
is more common
much more common. Yeah.
yeah,
but a lot of them you just kind of you know you get it,
sucks,
you take some
like,
drugs and you're don't
okay.
have it anymore. Yeah.
There like there's high concentrations of both HIV and Ebola in West Africa.
Yeah.
So I
right.
would just recommend people in those regions being careful. Everyone should be careful. But
sure.
like, I think if you have a one-night stand unprotected in Canada, you're less likely.
Right.
Probably
yeah.
just
unless
really
someone's like bleeding from the eyes and
bleeding from the eyes.
That's one of the big symptoms I know about Ebola.
One time I wasn't sleeping with
symptom.
Anybody for like 2 years and I got tested three times.
Three times in two. So
oh.
you're... You are safe.
I'm horrified is what I
am.
Yeah.
I'm a total hypochondriac. I'm
yeah.
right there with you. I'm married and I get tested for HIV all the time.
Yeah, it's like, why not?
It is.
No,
it,
I think
you might as well check on it.
Right.
My doctor thinks, though, that I'm like a secret, you know, like deviant or everyone because like I just want to this time. They're like, okay, you know, they're like, any needle drugs? Any, you know, I'm like, I wish.
Yeah, that I had the I remember when I got the news. This is years ago that hepatitis C I had from years of intravenous drug use, but I was pleased by that because HIV was the big one, of course. So when I got that call, and I also knew nothing about hepatitis C at the time, so I heard that and I was like, okay, I've heard of it, but it's not HIV, so I'm excited for that. But then you take a bunch of drugs, and that's, you know, your liver survives it.
Have you ever shot up cocaine?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
What's the difference?
Coke's
an upper. Heroin's a downer.
No, I mean, but shooting up
the immediate
cocaine.
Rush is the shooting up of cocaine, the head-ringing euphoria, I would even argue, is greater than heroin.
Than snorting it?
Well, definitely greater than snorting it, because snorting it doesn't – you have those – that initial – I would say – might last 60 seconds, but that first, when it all goes in at once like that, you get that euphoric, like almost out of body, head ringing.
And then do you want more like 5 minutes after?
No, you definitely don't. What's that?
Do you want more like 5 minutes after?
Well, because just chasing that one little thing, you're high after that for a while, just like you would be if you snorted it.
Right.
But that there's that moment where, after about like 20 minutes, you start thinking,
heroin's chasing the dragon, what are you chasing with cocaine?
The blog post. The 30
post.
Tabs on your computer that you
chasing
have
the long ass blog post. Yes, I think that is what it's called. shooting it, I would say, even
chasing
though
it's the screenplay. Sorry.
That's you need it. You need
shooting
it
just sounds better because you don't get that gross drip.
Yeah, the drip and ripping the sinus cavities up, but it's so highly addictive, more so than. I would just say, because I think people argue that it's not physically addicting. Heroin is, but that cocaine is not. But I think that feeling of that rush of shooting it, I would argue maybe it's just all psychological. Maybe your brain is physical and it's all this fucking same. I don't know.
It does change your neural pathways.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there would be a difference as to how it got in.
Right.
Like, it's still hitting your brain.
Right.
I have a question. You ever shot up quinine?
Oh, man. Let's do some lines of quinine.
Right, I'm obsessed.
If we cook up some quinine by the end of this show, we're all going to be zooming.
I wish I had something so we could try some equipment. All right. Well, basically, don't have sex with people who have Ebola.
No.
Or just use protection, right?
Yeah. If you're going to fuck someone with Ebola, use a condom. And don't eat their turd burgers.
What's the bell mean?
The bell is hopefully it signifies moving on to the listener or to us. Even,
but if you have something you were dying to say, say it.
Yeah.
Because it's just a little bell.
Or if you want to ring it, fucking ring it and we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Quinine.
You can ring my bell.
All right.
Ring my bell. Let's ring some bells in listener love.
Listener mailbag.
Oh, man.
Is that Taylor Moore?
That is Taylor Moore. You recognize the Taylor Moore.
He's my favorite.
Yeah.
He's
the
best.
He's great. He did. He allowed us. He gave us his blessing to keep those cues for the transition.
Yeah, he was our producer for our first 40 episodes and, you know, integral part of the show.
Did you do it at his apartment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
There's a great little studio right there in his half bedroom. His apartment's haunted?
Well, he doesn't believe in ghosts.
Right.
I don't really either.
So who said
but word
on?
Around town
Sanji?
Is...
Sanji said that somebody came over who was like a psychic and said that the apartment was haunted.
They came over on the job or they just came over casually?
Casually, like a friend.
No, they stopped in front. They're like, beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
Here.
Well, they live in like haunted. An old Brooklyn brownstone.
Right.
And
it's a great building.
Apparently some, spooky brownstone. And apparently some painter used to live in there and the psychic knew. And there was like, there's some sort of ghost in here. It's like a painter, and they were like, oh, a painter.
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Also, if there is going to be a ghost, a painter, I mean, that's...
Painter's not too
that's
bad.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You're still
come home and the walls are a different color.
You're like, whoa, spooky.
It's mauve.
You find an oil painting of, like, you as a nude. You're like, what the hell?
Well, this was drawn...
These love handles overnight. Are terrifying. All right, let's get into this.
People write to us. They ask us. They want help. These listeners, they say, please, we have these ridiculous questions we need help with.
Some are not ridiculous.
Some are serious.
Like this one. I have two dicks. My grandmother just passed away, leaving me money so I can finally get surgery to be normal. Should I do it? And which dick should I chop? This is Paul from Toledo, Ohio. He DM'd us via our Twitter at Minaj Radio.
Mm. Double dicks.
I think if Paul's not... like, it seems weird to ask a podcast if you should cut your dick off.
It does.
I do think that's only something you can decide.
Let's say we are qualified to make that decision for him, but I don't know that we should.
My advice to him would be to decide himself whether or not he wants two dicks or not.
Right.
I don't want to be responsible for castrating somebody.
No, that's a lot to put on your shoulders.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of questions.
Especially if he regrets it.
Like, if this is some kind of... obviously, deformation. Is there like a larger dick? You know, when there's like
yes.
an extra toe or something, there's usually a dominant.
Right.
I would, and also.
I cut the smaller one off, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also.
Drop the dead weight.
The dead weight. Yeah. I guess then if you're trying to, you maybe get rid of the bigger one, but I want to say don't get rid of the big one.
Depends on how big it is.
Yeah, that's also true.
If they're both tiny, keep them.
Keep both. Try to sandwich them together and get the most mileage out of it. I've seen some photos. I don't know. I have no idea what this is called, but I remember
Wait,
seeing some photos.
Hold on. Sarah, my best friend Sarah Hooker sent me a photo this weekend of a guy with two dicks. I don't know if it's real.
Mm.
Keep
I
talking
think it happens.
While I pull it up.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think maybe pick the one that's the most sensitive. Yeah, I see. That's probably what this Paul guy has or is pretending to
see. See, in this photo, there's a smaller dick on top, which that's the one you probably get rid of.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, it's smaller.
Well, maybe that's a grower, not a shower.
Ooh.
Well, see, also with that picture, it's like
That picture's from 1911? Is that one of the first photographs ever taken?
Yeah, just to describe it to the people, there's like a normal dick and then a smaller dick on top of it.
And so a lot of pubes.
Aesthetically, it would make the most sense to remove the top dick because then you have a normal-looking dick situation.
Right.
If you cut off the bottom dick, then you end up with this one that's basically on your hip.
Which is not where you want
not
a dick.
Where you want a
I
dick.
Put my
no.
dick up on my hip. When I dick you, dip, we dip. You know what's weird, though? Also, I feel like the reason someone would ask a podcast to weigh in on this is this might be one of those things that you're insecure about when you're young.
No, totally.
But
yeah.
as you get older, you're like, oh, this makes me special.
Right.
You know? And then you finally have the money to make a change, and you're like, should I even do that?
I've always said own what you got. I mean, if you can own the two dicks, you know, I would imagine you're going to get some surprised lovers, but... There's potential there, I guess.
Well, you'd hope there's a conversation first.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I'd say, like, go to therapy and figure it out. Like,
right.
go see a psychologist, talk it out, figure out what you really want out of your life, and if you want to be a person with two dicks or not.
Mm-hmm. That's a great...
Totally fine if you want to be, but just, like, handle that.
Yep.
I'm surprised maybe he hasn't discussed this with a professional yet. And then I would say then go from there or get into a hut full of smoke and hot heat and take a bunch of mushrooms or ayahuasca or something and
find
come
yourself.
Out of it
ayahuasca.
Knowing
yes.
what you want to do.
The journey.
Dick-wise.
Yep. Take the double dick journey.
I think that's great advice. I just really want him. Send us a picture, Paul.
Paul. And also two vaginas.
Dick's
if you find some with two...
dicks.
That's a dick's pick.
One of those dick's picks in Twitter history. So this next one comes into us... they emailed us at menageatrois.radio@gmail.com. This is Theodore from Cambridge, Massachusetts. My beloved wife and I had molds made of our genitals many years ago. She passed away in 2010, but I still make love to her vagina every night. Is this impeding me from moving on? I miss her so much.
Man.
Ooh.
Jeez. Can
First
I
off, the genital.
One
yeah. Get on.
Morgan needs another drink for this listener.
Yeah, we are 18 minutes in. Oh, man, that's sad.
Yeah, that is. I mean, the technology
Wait,
of
that?
Genital molds.
Should we mold each other's stuff before one of us dies?
Sure. I would be down with that.
I would say
the technology is really advanced.
To avoid this guy's problem, you should just specify whether or not you want him to continue having sex with your mold after you died.
Like that should be in your
That's
living
true.
Will.
Yes.
Yeah.
That like, should be a part of
keep
it.
Keep going or don't keep going. I say it's fine as long as your current partner is okay with it.
You're like, bury my synthetic vagina with me.
See, I think I would be fine if someone, so let's say we didn't mold our genitals, what would be great is if we did mold our genitals and then there was a death and then remarried and then that person also had other genitals. I think it gets complicated. I don't know. I don't know how I would feel about it.
I agree that there's an issue with the new partner, but I think his question is like that he's not moving on.
Oh, right.
And
right,
he's wondering if like that's because he still has this like quasi-sexual connection to his dead wife.
So it's not just looking at photos and obsessing over that, over the memories that they've had.
Right.
It's also...
I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's all the kind of the same.
It's called an object of fetishistic disavowal.
And
That's what happens when, like, somebody died. Like, there's, like, a story of this lady who was, like, given a hamster by her husband, and her husband died, and she, like, didn't react to it at all. And then when the hamster died, then she really started grieving and processing it all.
Okay,
so it's possible that by getting rid of the mold, then you can adequately grieve for your lost loved one. But also, I would say it's kind of like people wear the wedding ring after their spouse has died or something. And I don't find that to be too weird, you know?
No. So a genital mold is definitely on par with a gold band. I mean, what's the fucking difference?
That's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Find a way to wear it.
Whatever means something to you. Find a way to flaunt it.
If you got it, flaunt it.
Yeah, I know what you mean about the ring too, because some people do say that that's the I've heard other stories of that being the final straw of someone finally deciding to just get rid of that one symbol of whatever.
But isn't the point of like a mold though to like keep it around forever? Like,
yeah, because when they were alive, they actually had their genitals. So it seems, I don't know the way this is worded. It doesn't seem like they discussed holding on to it after they died. They just did it maybe just for fun, or maybe to have one the other, you know, maybe they traveled and out of town.
I don't know. I'd say like keep having sex with it and try to meet new people.
Yeah.
There we go.
See, you know, if you still have a need for it after trying to move on.
See if there's another vagina you would want to have sex with.
Yeah.
It's a hard sell, I think, to a new partner though. If you floated that to just be like, just so you know, like when I am masturbating, I am using a mold of my deceased wife.
Right. But hopefully if it's the right person, they won't mind.
That's true. Open mind. Keep an open mind and an open mold.
That is the saddest story I've ever heard.
It's pretty sad.
Hey, we talk about real shit here on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Theodore.
All right. Our third and final question, which is super real, comes to us from Not Alone But Lonely in Wyoming via our Facebook page, Menage a Trois Radio. I hate one of my sister wives. I want to trust the principal, but I think my husband has been led astray. How do I divorce her but keep my family?
The principal, that's like the, that's is that the a Mormon thing?
I think that's the first wife.
Polygamous thing? Okay.
Is that the first wife or is that the husband?
I think, but I like, my knowledge is from Big Love.
Mine's from Sister Wives, the show.
I think the principle is like, the principle is the idea of multiple wives.
Oh, got it.
Like that's like the thing.
The scripture
that
or whatever you
go forth and make babies with a lot of women.
Yeah.
But principal would be a good name.
Right, for the main guy. Yeah.
I'm the principal. You want to be the vice principal? Fine.
I'm the substitute teacher.
Yeah, I'm the like president the pro tempore of this five-person marriage.
Yeah, it's a complicated process.
I don't like those relationships. It's not polyamory. It seems like inherently misogynistic to me.
I feel the same way. I've heard people disagree with that, but I definitely I've never seen one or heard of one that didn't have that feel to it. So I'm not saying it's impossible.
Right.
But my feeling on that kind of situation is usually it's some fucking dude making a power play and having...
That's what it seems like, because I'm all about like group love or polyamory and stuff like that. But these things, at least from reality TV or Big Love or whatever, or like My Five Wives and stuff, it always seems to be about some fucked up idiot guy who's seemingly conned five women into worshiping him.
And doing all of the housework and doing all of the... Yeah.
And pretending they're not jealous of each other.
Right.
Because it's like goes against their nature. I'm not saying it goes against everybody's nature, but it's like the people in these relationships, it goes against their specific nature. And they end up kind of, I think, seemingly resenting everybody that is involved in this situation.
Yeah. Well, on Big Love, they enjoyed... The issues did arise, but they enjoyed like the community of it.
Right.
So I just don't know. People are going to live in weird ways, I guess.
It just grosses me out when people ask them like, well, what if it was five men and one woman? And then they're like, that's insane. Or, you know, are those weird questions where they draw the line? Like, I remember on this episode of Sister Wives, they met the My Five Wives family, which is how the My Five Wives family got a show. Oh. It was like a spin-off crossover thing.
Ooh.
And they were like, wait, you guys all share a bed? Like the My Five Wives guy was like sleeping with all of them
right.
in a room. And the Sister Wives people were like, that's insane. We like share this guy like one night a week. And you're like fucking them all at once. That goes against
the
teachings.
The particulars come into play, which then, is
when you break it down, they're just insane people.
Yeah,
right. You're how is one above the other?
You're trying to insert logic into an insane situation.
Seems healthier though.
In the same room,
because everyone's included.
It's all on
all times.
The cards are on the table. Yeah.
I just think when there's five women involved and it's still being run by one man, that's like the definition of a patriarchy.
Yeah,
and it's like crazy.
It's like a small business.
Yes.
Yes.
It's so gross.
It's like most small businesses across this goddamn country.
God damn it. Okay, so.
Huh.
It's like my scrapbooking store.
I think you should.
The misogyny at scrapbook store is just off the fucking charts.
I think that Not Alone But Lonely should just have an honest conversation with her family.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know if that's on the table. But...
it is now. Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we at least helped one third of those people.
Yeah.
Which
the Dick's guy?
We've been through. I think the Dick's guy.
Yeah. I think we helped the man with the mold.
Oh yeah. I think we did too. I think we passed just enough of the buck to say, go get help. Talk about these things with other people. And
we helped.
We helped.
We helped, yeah. And my advice to that woman in a polygamous marriage is to really take a cold, hard look at yourself in the mirror and decide what you want.
Get a TV show.
Yes,
and get a show.
Get a show, if nothing else.
Yeah,
get a goddamn show.
Fucking show.
TLC's looking for it. All right, so I even throw TLC under the bus. I mean, every fucking network has got some reality shows. I don't know why I did that to TLC. I'm sorry. So
I think they'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we answered some questions there, but we now have some questions for our guest, Mr. Morgan Evans.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
And these are, this is called Six Sections. It's six rapid fire sex questions. So just answer as quickly as you can.
Got it.
Starting now.
Would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
One life partner.
Morgan, who is the sexiest animal?
A sloth.
Who is your number one celebrity crush?
Ooh, Emma Watson.
What's the best song to have sex to?
Don't have sex to music.
Hot tub, backseat, or bed?
Bed.
What's the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Intelligence.
Ooh, the smarts, the smarts. A smart sloth. Looking for a smart sloth.
A smart, slow person.
Who doesn't like music?
Moves slowly, but thinks deeply.
Yeah. I'm bad at sex in terms of, like, distractions, is what I mean about the music.
No, but I kind of hear that. Like, if great music is playing and I happen to be having sex, that's awesome. But I think that those, like, movie ideas of, like, the perfect album to bone to, like, I rarely am in that situation.
There's a shift in tone through most albums.
That's hard to keep up with.
Right.
I remember once I was high enough that I thought there was a song. I was involved in, what the hell was the fucking song? It was like a 60, it might have been like Cream. I don't even remember what the hell it was. It was definitely not a sexy song to have sex to. But as it came on, I thought I was really in the rhythm of the moment, and like in my mind it was just like everything is just perfectly intertwined, and then I lost my erection, and then it wasn't intertwined.
You didn't cream.
I did not clapped and creamed. I did not,
because I think a lot of that music that is maybe not thought of as sexy but is like really intense could be great to fuck to, but I don't know who has the time.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's hard to be intimate if, like, anything's kind of distracting you, which is, like, I mean, I guess not always the point. Is for me, it is, you know, certainly. So it's difficult to not, I don't know, put that other shit out of my mind.
Sure. Like, I mean, if you have anxieties or stresses at all in the brain or anything else going on, that's distracting enough. Or now if you're dealing with
music
that you're trying to be sexy to.
And now I'm having sex to, like, what, Paul McCartney? And it's like, then I'm thinking about him.
Never have sex to Paul McCartney.
Yeah, his new album. I'm having sex to Paul McCartney's new stuff.
The new stuff, yeah. Then you start to really question.
Okay, let's talk about the sloth.
Yeah.
Is it are we talking three-toed, or are we talking...
Well, look, so I'm figuring this out with you guys, because this is like a Freudian, like, word association thing.
Oh, yes, yeah.
You said sexiest animal, and then without thinking, I said a sloth, so there's something to it.
Something there.
I'm thinking it's the claspy hands.
Yes.
Right.
It's got to... Yep. I mean, I didn't say a monkey. But a sloth does move. It manipulates things and brings them to its mouth orally.
Right. Oh, yes. It can hang
from
the trees.
So you don't want, the highest level of dexterity. You just want
a little.
You just want to be grabbing at your dick.
No lobster hands.
Just grabbing.
Just get a hold of it and
Ben
throw it around.
Has pulled up some sloth pictures.
Oz is getting on the sloth.
I feel like it has a human-esque face.
It does.
Well, they are adorable.
It's like, look at that. See, that's a.
It's a sweet creature.
I guess it's the closest thing to a human I could think of at the moment, which is crazy because I guess chimp would be.
That's a face you want to finish on.
Has anyone ever said human? Oh, finish on the face. You want to jizz on a sloth?
You know what? Maybe would be a better answer. It's an anteater because of its tongue.
Oh, yes. That's a long tongue. That can get up to the prostate real quick.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
Has anyone ever said human? I don't think so.
Human? That's an animal.
We are fucking animals.
Yeah. I'm curious if anyone ever has.
What about humpback whale? Like a giant
something
animal
that you can't even picture. Swim into its mouth and take it from there. Yeah, I don't know how else you would. They do have giant penises, which makes sense.
It does.
But then again, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Gorillas, very small penises.
What if I said human male? I'm like a straight man.
If I had one fantasy animal.
Yeah, sexiest animal. Human male! I mean, what?
What did sloth,
I
mean.
What I say?
Oh, Ben, Oz has pulled up
Oz has brought up a photo of sloth.
from Goonies.
Yes. That's what you meant, right?
Yeah, I meant people with prosthetic facial appendages.
He's like, hey, you balls. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, bless
that
it.
Might be the worst thing I've ever said on this program.
I love you. You don't say it. Okay.
Well, those are good six sections.
Those are great. I love the word association
broke
diving right into it.
Thank you.
You know about the sloth now.
Ding, 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 ding. Let's chat a little bit about power couples in our PC spotlight.
Our power couple of the week.
Her animated American rap star and songstress with an offbeat flow whose anaconda don't.
And you know her bombastic curvy fatty that won't quit. We're talking Nicki Minaj.
And her ass. That's a power couple.
Her own ass.
Her own ass.
Her own ass.
Good Lord.
Good Lord.
I think this is quite the power couple.
Yeah.
They've done well together.
She seems to be upset at it.
Yeah.
Though, recently.
In this, yeah.
People keep asking her about it, and she seems to be off-put by it.
Whether it's real or not.
Well, no, just, in general, she's like, I'm sick of talking about my ass. And it's like, then why the fuck did you build a career on your ass?
Yeah, that's hard to,
I don't like her very much.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That would be like Bob Ross. Is that his name? Bob Ross.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk paintings.
Yeah, trees happy are my
trees.
Enemy.
Little happy
fucking hate
trees.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, don't turn on your assets.
There you go.
Boom. Yeah. I think it's a hell of a power couple, and I do think that she's.
I wish she'd be cool with it because I think she's got a cool, fun ass.
She doesn't.
I don't want her
ass.
To turn on her ass.
I like the implications of the Anaconda song, which someone was recently telling me because I was saying that it's a bad tune.
Right.
I was just saying it's inherently
I don't
kind
care
of
for
bad.
It.
And they were saying, well, it's kind of a response to all these white chicks running around shaking their ass and trying to claim twerking, whereas hers is I am proud of being a black woman with this big ass, and
sure.
Here is my response to Miley Cyrus or
and
something. I don't know if that's
Azalea
true.
Or
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know if that's accurate. I understand that, but I think we should stop just talking about women's asses all the time.
No, I agree. And we went back and forth on having this as a PC because we're not trying to objectify women's bodies. But I do think it's interesting when someone does celebrate a part of themselves to a degree in which it has helped their career.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
well, that's what I was just going to say. Oh, go ahead.
I was
just going to say that, yeah, there's I do think it's a very fine line with objectifying versus if someone is celebrating something and making a career from something. It's a conversation we've had a few times on the show about the adult film industry is the same thing, where there is a line between it's your body. If you want to make money off it in any way you can, then you do it, versus objectifying and saying, always making the conversation about that, especially about people who that's not their thing, which I'm not going to put that on Nicki Minaj. I don't know. I don't really care for her music, but I remember when she first came out, it was not as highly sexualized or even now the freaky persona that she has created, I feel, has gone above and beyond the music at this point. At least
that's kind of how I feel about her ass in general. Like, I think it's great that she's owning it or whatever it you know, mm-hmm. and is building a career on it. But she's also an amazing rapper.
Yeah.
Like, she's very good at rhyming words very quickly.
Yeah.
And saying them in
that's
order
rap
fast.
For that's the kids rap. At home.
I'm just hearing about this new
well, no.
phase.
And she has this great offbeat flow, and she does all these accents and, like, crazy
characters
faces.
And stuff,
like, she
yeah.
like, has
she's a performer.
Fun persona.
She's a fucking right. performer.
Do
sure.
rappers talk about how big their dicks are all the time?
I think sometimes.
But I don't feel like as often as, no. as these women are talking about how big their asses are, which I feel like is only problematic for, like, young women who are, like, looking up to her being like, oh, she's an amazing rapper, but I'm a good rapper, but I'll never be famous because I don't have an awesome
ass. I don't have a big
ass.
Fat ass. Yeah.
I don't know if that's, like, a thing. It just, to me, it just seems like a little dicey when people, like, on Jezebel are saying it's so feminist.
Right.
I think it is dicey, but I also love when people just own their shit. Like, even, like, I guess, like, having a big ass or a big dick would be something that would be seen as, like, bragging.
Yeah.
But we saw a documentary recently, The Dog. About the guy that Dog Day Afternoon was based on.
Oh, yeah. I forget his name.
I forget his name, too. We watched the documentary. It was
paid for the sex change, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. He awesome. Essentially robbed a bank to pay for a sex change for his male lover. And it was this great human interest story. And there's a point in it. It's a documentary. So there's all these great interviews with him where he's like, yeah, they call me Little John because I got a tiny prick.
But
he
said in a way with this bravado
it.
Yeah. that you're—he was—it was almost like he was saying, "Yeah, because I got a big dick." Like he
right.
was just saying, "This is I'm owning it."
And
yeah, it
comedians do that frequently.
Always.
Yeah. But I mean, that's like sort of at their own expense. I don't think he was trying to be funny.
He's proud of
I think
it.
He was like, "Oh, I'm in this fun, like, cool, free love community with right. like different kind of relationships. I'm married to women. I'm dating men." And
I'm robbing banks.
And I'm Lil Jon with a tiny dick.
Yeah.
And I, like, loved it.
It was pretty great. Yeah.
Right.
I do think that the ownership thing is part of it. But also, yeah, it's hard. Because if there is some problems recently about her being like, let's get over my ass. Let's talk about some other shit.
And what tower is she talking about if it's not Eiffel?
Yeah.
Do we know the tower? Willis Tower? Is that Trump Tower? She's talking about Trump Tower.
Not the Twin Towers, because that would be the guy with two dicks, and then they got both chopped off.
I ain't talking about towers.
Oh. Yeah.
Too soon. All right. I think she just got to go with her bad self
she
and do what she
wants. She blinks too much, too.
Yeah. Don't
okay.
worry about the ass.
Okay. All right.
Let's not blink as much as we do.
Whew.
That's the best advice we've given in this entire show is to Nicki Minaj to
stop
not blink.
Blinking so much. It's fake.
Well, here's what we're going to do now. This is really fun. We enjoy this a lot. It's called Virtual Sugar.
Okay, so.
Those are Taylor Moore's smooches.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Maybe not.
We found you a real OkCupid profile.
It's for sure real?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And this is an improvised date.
Great.
Now, what we've done here, you're aware of OkCupid.
I've used it once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan has a faraway look in his eye.
I know.
The way you, at home.
Yeah, the way you looked up and said that was, I don't know, it stirred up a lot of emotions
yeah.
in me.
Haz, you on OkCupid?
Haz is a single man.
I am a single man.
Yeah.
But I didn't really enjoy online dating.
Yeah, it's
well,
weird.
You're slaying it at the bar, from what I understand.
Yeah,
you're out there doing
yeah.
A-OK in the
okay.
real world.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh,
so
I don't
say
know if I
one thing.
It.
Yes, please.
I got on OkCupid and got matched up with an ex of mine. And one of the questions, you have to tell me if this is horrible or not. Mm. I personally think it's the worst thing I've ever read. It said, would you ever date somebody who was not a member of your race? And she had selected no.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah, that is.
And
I
then,
think
like,
we can
publicly,
say that
yeah. like, what? Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that is. No,
I'm sorry. Like, I just, like, have never
I agree
told
with that.
Anybody that, and that's insane to me.
I think that's an interesting.
That's very weird.
There was a Vicky Vett, who was an adult film actress, came out, this is a few years ago now, but came out and said that she would never do an interracial scene. And yeah, it was this, I don't know why I just immediately thought of that. But,
right.
That to me doesn't mean, yeah, I think that's fucked up. I do think that's fucked up. I think that's fine. Because I think it's fine to pick who you want to have sex with, who you want to date.
Sure.
But to say absolutely not, never would this right. be on the table.
Yeah.
Suggest something
well, that,
deeper than that.
Because
there's another,
racism.
There's a follow-up question to that.
Well, you know what is weird with that, though, is if they would never have an interracial scene, but they would fuck somebody else in real life.
Yes. Yeah.
Who was of another race.
Yeah. Oh, right. Just not on camera.
Right, not on
I
camera.
I just don't
then.
Want that, yeah.
Then it would be like, well, why? Is what it is about the social implications of yep. a mixed race scene?
She's like, well, my dad's really racist, and if he sees that, he's going to be very disappointed.
Well, that's when you have to ruin your dad's life.
Yeah. You well, take your dad to task.
And also, that brings up where you draw your lines.
Yeah.
Because not saying if you are in porn that you should have like a more open outlook on sexuality, but one would guess that.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a very interesting place where you're like, oh no, anybody white can come in my ass, but I'm not. Yeah, but I don't want to be on screen with
no.
a.
And
that's very weird.
And you also follow the logic. I mean, aside from the adult film industry, following the OK Cupid thread is more people intense about first dates being like, OK, would you even consider like dating someone of a different race? But then if people immediately go like, well, when we get married and we have kids and then we have mixed race children. Which,
yeah.
first of all, you know, it's 2014, almost 2015, so...
Yeah, yeah we're all gonna be fucking caramel-colored people
yeah, you're,
at some
you're,
point.
You're yeah. a big old dum-dum for that. But
right.
I just think people immediately go there
right.
instead of just, well, what if you just went out and had a few drinks? You wouldn't go out and have a few drinks in a potential romantic setting with someone
it's
of a different
that
race.
It's saying that you don't find other races attractive.
Yeah. That's which is almost... yeah, it is.
And I'm the whitest guy on Earth, so now I understand why.
Yeah.
Yeah, she found you. She was like, she
oh,
called
an
her
Aryan.
Parents.
An Aryan, yeah. yeah. Well, that's why, yeah, it gets into the more disturbing. Even, yeah, the, yeah that kind of shit is almost on the level of, yeah, the Aryan race keeping that pure. That gets to
did you message her?
Place.
You're like, I feel so used.
No. What?
Also,
no. I just saw that and
I
then
just
held onto
you.
It for a year and a half and came
and
told you
and dropped it
guys.
Right now. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for that.
I'm pretty well adjusted in terms of that shit. Try
well, this,
to hide it.
This young lady, we tried to match you as best as we could, knowing that you're not a neo-Nazi. We went and found a profile for you. The name of this date is Ramona on TV, and the location of the date is you will be seat fillers at the Oscars. Now, Diana's going to play the date. And I will play any ancillary characters that may come up,
this is
and
the best.
You play yourself.
Okay, great.
Let's do it. Date begins now.
Hi.
Hey, Morgan. You found the right seat. Here we are.
Ramona?
Yeah, Ramona.
Hi, nice to meet you.
I go by Ramona on TV. I try to be on TV as much as possible.
Oh, are you a professional seat filler?
Like, I'm getting there.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Have you watched the Oscars before?
Yeah, I love the Oscars. I'm obsessed with them. I got kicked out last year because I, like, ran over the red carpet, but I dyed my hair and I'm back this year.
I remember that. Yeah, I watched that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, they say the Oscars are like the Super Bowl, but if you could buy the outcome, you know what I mean?
I don't follow.
Oh, well, it's like, you know Argo?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's this movie that's real bad. That one. Also, Slumdog Millionaire, also a shit film, totally won.
But what about stuff like Shakespeare in Love that totally deserved to win?
Well, that's also a shit film, though.
Oh, just fine to step on my foot. Miss.
Oh, Bruce Dern.
Oh, my God. I'm
Jesus
so sorry.
Bruce stepped on my you woke me up.
Sorry. Loved you in Nebraska.
Oh, Nebraska was a fucking shit film that... had no business. I fucking tried to buy it like the goddamn Super Bowl.
You know, I agree with you. That's what I've been trying to tell Ramona here. Sorry, Ramona on TV.
Just Ramona. Bruce, hi, I'm Ramona.
Hey.
How's it going? Do you want to hang out sometime? Do you need anything? I could get you a drink, or do you want to sign my handbag?
Yeah, I'll sign your handbag, sure. Give me that little number, and also get me a Glucerna. You know what that is?
Yeah.
My vitamins are low.
Bruce,
yeah.
Do you want to wear my tuxedo? You shouldn't have shown up here in a white tankless shirt.
Yeah, I,
What's a tankless shirt?
I grab whatever. Well, it's a shirt
top.
With no tank, I think.
Right, yeah.
So but like a tank top.
It's
yeah.
only sleeves.
Yeah, well, the nips are cut out, so And I found it lying on my floor. I picked it up and wore it.
Bruce, here's your Glucerna. I had to grab it from Sissy Spacek. She bit me and called me a hoe.
Oh. Everybody, welcome to the Oscars. I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
Woo!
I will not be hosting the Oscars this year. In my place, I sent Ramona on TV.
Oh my God, Morgan, it's happening. Do you mind if I just leave you?
Are we in your dream?
What? Did you hear that?
What?
Are you making fun of me?
No, what? What did I hear?
I thought I heard Ellen say that I was going to be on the Oscars.
Ellen who?
Ellen who the hell?
Ellen DeGeneres.
Degenerate? What? They're all degenerate.
Bruce, get out of here. I got your autograph.
Oh, that's all I'm good for, huh? Well, I'm checking out of this life and on to the next.
Have you been on TV before?
Just last year when I ran onto the red carpet.
Oh, cool. Did you get a lot of Twitter followers?
Yeah, like at least 14. Hey, I heard you work in TV. That's why I wanted to go on a date. Can you do anything for me?
I'm a grip. So I can put a C-stand up, I can put a clothespin on a CB filter. And
Oh my God!
Oh my God.
If it's not my favorite grip!
Harvey Fierstein.
Morgan!
Oh, is that Harvey? I thought it was...
Oh!
I thought it was Australian Hugh
Jackman. Oh my... Well, look,
no, it's Harvey Fierstein.
You have romped around a bit.
Harvey, hi, how are you?
Ramona!
Oh, you remembered.
Oh, of course. What are you doing here with this little scallywag?
Hey!
Dating him tonight.
Well, don't let him get his grips on ya. Good night!
Ugh.
You know, that guy wrote Cabaret.
Really?
No, Kinky Boots. Was it Kinky Boots? Harvey!
Oh my God, you know so much.
What the hell did I write?
I'm asking.
I'm not sure.
Harvey, do you want cocaine like last year?
What? Of course!
Hold on.
Only if we mainline it. My passageways are all fucked up. I need to...
Hold on, let me check with my date. Morgan, do you mind if we all mainline cocaine?
I have something to tell you. I'm actually Michael Caine.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Michael Caine.
Oh, my God, it's Michael Caine.
I'm here
from
The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, my God.
Would you like to be on television?
Yes.
Ramona, it's your big break. Michael Caine... Came in as a seat filler, left as a Oscar winner.
Ramona, wake up!
What?
Ramona.
What?
You're at the Emmys.
Ramona, you're...
What the fuck?
Sorry, everybody.
From a dream to a nightmare.
Yeah.
That was an excellent date.
I will say that the Oscars, as much as I love them, are totally bought and paid for, right?
Completely.
Yes,
I think that's, The pageantry of it all is sometimes really fun to watch.
I love it. I mean, it's so fun. The jokes are great sometimes.
But the reality of it is, it's all just the machine. Got to keep moving.
Glad you brought up Argo, because that one scene where Ben Affleck slow motion takes his shirt off.
Into the mirror.
With
in
the
his
whiskey
own
bottle.
Movie.
He directed. Yeah. That's the thing. If you didn't direct it, I would say, maybe someone.
No.
You
He's
directed yourself
that
to do
shot.
That.
Yeah. And then I'll come in and I'll take my shirt off.
Yeah.
I will say, did you see Gone Girl?
Yeah.
He's going to be a pretty good Batman.
Yeah.
I thought he was great in that movie.
I thought he was. I thought he was perfectly cast in that movie.
And I love Chasing Amy.
Which is
so
a backhanded
much.
Compliment.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Chasing Amy's great.
He's been great here and there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't
like
mind
directing
it.
I think
Affleck's
acting,
a doof.
Big old doof.
I mean, they're all doofs. That's the thing. None of them are
dudes.
Good.
None of them are real
None
people.
None of them are real
what
people.
What about the... Well, we were talking about... They don't talk about the... Rappers don't talk about their dicks enough. The Ben Affleck, little tiny... Not based on the size of his cock, but the little tiny... Based on the amount of time cock shot from Gone Girl really blew up.
I didn't see it. I did see Neil Patrick Harris's bloody dick, though.
Yes.
Wait,
yeah.
I didn't see
the
it
movie,
live
and
in the
I didn't
movie.
See any peen, and I usually am on hot peen alert.
Yeah. Yeah. You do get. I get a lot
it was
of elbows.
No Richard
during,
Gere. You know
no,
what I mean.
No.
It wasn't like a hanging.
Full, a full frontal.
For real.
Harvey Keitel.
I want to see Daniel Day-Lewis do that because he must have the biggest penis on earth.
He's probably got a big old dick, and his dick would be in
dragging on
deep
the
into the method for many months and
That's
years
the thing.
Leading
he
up
has,
to that
He
moment.
Still has the fucking There Will Be Blood dick. You know what I mean? It's you. Something you lose something.
There's
when
a little
you do
bit of milkshake on the end of it.
Yeah,
a little beard. His pubes are shaved into a Lincoln beard.
Yeah,
he's got it all. Oh my.
His wife's movie was horrible. The one that he was in. Sorry, I just wanted to do, go out on that.
Oh, geez.
I don't know. He's married to like Arthur Miller's daughter, right?
Yeah.
I forget what it's called. It's so bad.
Old Sally Miller.
That's a sad Sally Miller picture.
I feel sad.
A Sally Miller joint. I feel sad too because we got to say goodbye to Morgan.
Oh no, already?
Yes. Feels too soon.
Music blasts.
As he looks, as he gives that okay Cupid look off into the distance.
Guys, you don't have to say goodbye to Morgan. Peep all things at totallymorgan.com.
Yes, follow him on Twitter. It's at totallymorgan.
Watch the untitled web series that Morgan Evans is doing for MTV, Music Television, and like the show.
Morgan, do you have any live shows coming up? We'll release this as soon as
Never.
Possible.
Never.
Never live?
No. I mean, not anymore.
Right.
Just soon. No, I love doing live shows.
At the Oscars.
Yeah, I'll be at the Oscars. I'll introduce
so if
best
people
daytime
follow you.
Children's program.
They'll follow you on Twitter. They'll
Twitter
all
will
your stuff.
See things.
Excellent.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for
so
having much. Me, you guys. This was the best.
Dude, thank you.
I was so nervous it was going to be like too sexual, and then it was just the right amount.
Just enough. Well,
just a little bit.
As soon as this music stops, we will both begin tugging you under the table.
Oh, great.
That's how we like
don't
it.
Don't give away all our secrets.
Oh, that's true.
We'd also like to thank our producer, the Wizard of Oz. That's Ben Hosley.
The Wizard of Oz.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, guys.
Well, we got to also thank, I was just getting so preoccupied by my lobster claw callback that I forgot to thank our big mama, UCB Comedy, for hosting us.
Mm-hmm.
So nice here.
It is nice here. Please tweet at us, at Menage Radio.
Reach out and touch us if you want to email us at menageatoi.radio@gmail.com and check us out online at menageatoi.radio.com. Goodbye.
Goodbye, we all over that web.
Wear a condom, guys. Ebola is in New York.
Menage a Trois is recorded at UCB Comedy Studios in New York City. Titillating tunes brought to you by French Horn Rebellion. Check out all things funny at ucbcomedy.com and subscribe to Menage a Trois Radio on iTunes for new episodes every hump day. That's Wednesday for all you lovers out there.